to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight we pray that you would meet with us in a very special way, that, Lord, we would understand that, Lord, the mission you've called us to is very possible with the power of God. And so, Lord, I pray that tonight you would just guide our thoughts and our hearts to this passage, and may we learn from this section of Scripture the importance of reaching our world, and Lord, how it is possible to reach our world with this truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. You know, when you and I trusted Christ as Savior, our viewpoints about this world begin to change. It was a time in which, you know, maybe our concerns of the affairs of this world occupied our time. But as believers in Christ, we have a new viewpoint. We have a viewpoint that we see things not so much through the eyes of man, but we see through the eyes of God. And so we're seeing things much different. Our message is changeless. The truth is, the gospel will never change, but God in his wisdom has given us what I might call a higher calling. But if you look at verse number 25, Paul shows us about the great delusion. I want to talk about that in just a moment, but that's not going to be the emphasis. Here's the delusion of changing the truth of God into a lie. And what he wants us to understand is that the world has changed the truth of God into a lie. And here's the truth. Every one of us on this planet, all of humanity, needs the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in desperate need of him. And that we can't really have a fulfilled life. We cannot have a life that is fulfilling the purpose that God has for us without Jesus Christ. Life would be miserable without Christ. Here's the lie. The lie is that we can live a life like that without Jesus Christ. That's the lie. The lie is being sold that all of us can exist independent of God, that we don't need God, that we are the master of our own destiny, that we, if you would, we are self-sufficient, that we can be self-made men, that we can do things on our own, that we can make our life fulfilling without God. And that's a lie. And when people try to fulfill their life without God, Paul, in the last part of the chapter, gives an unflattering picture of what it would be like to have a life without Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad tonight we have the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't it good to know that what God has given to us in Jesus Christ, what a great promise it is that God has given us a life, not just a life, but a life abundant. And that's a wonderful thing for us. We can enjoy the services. We can enjoy the fellowship. We can enjoy all those things. And so when I enjoy something as much as I do, I can't help but want to share that. And Paul talks about that in verses 15, 16, 17, and 18. And here's what he wants to show us as he described for us that those, even though they're trying to pollute the gospel, that the gospel is described in three ways. I want you to notice verse number 15, because Paul gives us the very first description, the readiness of the gospel. Have you ever thought about it this way, that the gospel can have an effect on anyone's life right now? Right now. In other words, that for us, we realize that the power of the gospel can change someone's life right here in this room tonight. Can change them tonight when you go home, or perhaps maybe tomorrow morning when you go to work and maybe you have a break and a friend calls you aside to want to say, you know, man, I had a rough weekend. I don't know what I'm going to do. What can I do? How can I handle things? And we can share the gospel, and those folks can trust Christ as Savior. Because that's the readiness of the gospel. The gospel is always ready to do its work in someone's life. You know, I don't have to sit around and wonder, well, you know, can these people be saved? Can these people know the work of the gospel? The truth is, we can have that gospel in operation today. Well, there's some things involved in this. Number one is there is a preparation. Two, there's an urgency. And number three, there's an invitation. Let's look at each of these and understand what we mean. There's a preparation. So here's what I think. I'm convinced that every believer should be prepared to give the gospel to someone at any moment, any time. You should be ready. Now, what can we do to get ready? Well, first of all, it involves prayer. Would it not be true that we should be prayed up and ready to give the gospel out to somebody? I don't know that maybe I may not go home tonight. My neighbor's house is burning down, and he's absolutely falling apart. He's not sure what he's going to do. I don't know that maybe I might be able to go over there and talk to him about how God can make a difference in his life. Or maybe his wife could be in the hospital, or maybe something could happen. Because here's the fact. Circumstances change in people's lives. Those who weren't open, when circumstances change, oftentimes they will become open to the gospel. So what Paul is saying is that we need to be ready. We pray up. We want to be prepared, because that's what readiness is all about, is being prepared. The gospel's ready. The question is, are those around us ready to hear the gospel? So I want to be prepared, and so it involves prayer. Number two, it involves the fact that maybe I would have, I would have materials that I need to be able to share the gospel. Can you think of anything that would be very important to have to share the gospel? What would be one thing that you think would be very important to have in your possession if you're ready to share the gospel? A Bible. Now, I don't suggest, and by the way, when we go out on community outreach night or anything, we don't want to take big Bibles out. We just don't want to do that, okay? Because number one is, it's hard enough to get someone either to come to a door or whatever, to answer the door. They think we're salespeople or we're Mormons or whatever. But we don't certainly want to take out a big Bible. We want to put a New Testament either in a pocket somewhere, or we want to kind of conceal that, okay? Not that we're embarrassed, but people don't know what you're going to do with that. It can be a fearful thing. But I think it's important we have it. Now, you may have it on an electronic device. You may have it, in your phone. You may have it in your pocket. We have in the past here, we provided a little pocket New Testaments. If any of you would like to have some of those, they're great. The one thing about the New Testament, the pocket New Testament, is the older I get, the harder it is to read it. How many of you are having that same gifting that I have? All right. So you understand, you know, when they put something in your pocket size, it also means your eyes have to be pocket size, I guess. And so I don't really do really well with those. So I like the electronic, because I can kind of stretch out the screen, you know, I can see better with the light. But whatever you use, that's up to you. But I would suggest that we, number one, that we have a Bible with us in whatever form you choose to have it. And there's so many different ways people can have it today. Number two, what else should we have? I think a gospel tract is really important. Here's the reason why. Because if it is true, and I've heard that it's true, and I don't know if it is or not, but, you know, I mean, it depends, I guess, in what area. But if you have to present the gospel, that may be the very first time they've heard it. So it would be important to have something like that as you share the gospel for follow-up, to go back and see them, and or for them to have it and say, you know what, because maybe they won't hear tonight, or maybe they won't hear at that time, or maybe it'll take three times, maybe it'll take, like me, 20 times or whatever. But having a gospel track, that's why we provide those out in the rack. We have those, we have the ones with the Romans Road on it, and we have all those things. We try to have as much as we can. We have church reference things, because here's the other thing, if someone gets saved and someone trusts Christ, they need to get into a church. And we want to make sure they know what church told them the message. That's important. So that's important. There's one more thing probably that all of us need to have that we're maybe this is where we're going to get to eventually. What else do we need to have? Can you think of it? How about a plan? Wouldn't it be important to know a plan? Now, everyone goes and talks about the Romans Road. You can use the Romans Road. And by the way, I'm a Romans Road guy, so I'm all for that. And I'll show you how that works, not tonight, but I'll show you another time. You can use the Romans Road, and I've used the Romans Road on every person. I've used it on Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses you name it. I've used the Romans Road, all of those, all the different denominations, because the Romans Road is still the Word of God. By the way, it is not the plan, it's the power of God that makes a difference in someone's life. And we need to understand that. It's not, and sometimes we say, well, I don't even know what to say. Don't worry about it. You can share your life experience, open the Bible, show them what the Bible says, and God can change their life. It's not about you, it's about God anyway. But it's important that we are ready. And one of the things that I want as a pastor is to help our people to be ready, because they never know at what point in time that their family members or their friends or someone at work or someone around them just might be ready for the gospel. So there's that preparation. Second of all, there's the urgency. How many of you agree with me that there is an urgency about getting the gospel to our world? Wouldn't you agree with that? Okay, the older it seems that someone gets, the harder it is for someone to get saved, for someone to turn their life over to Christ, because they get in life patterns, they get involved in life itself, and there's a lot of major changes. It's always best to reach young people when they're young and they grow up and they hear the message. But I do believe that the message is also urgent, not only because of that, but because of the fact we never know when our life will be over. We don't know at what point or what time that our life may end, and the sooner we meet Christ, the better our life will be, and the fact is we will be prepared to meet Jesus. So the urgency has the idea of being ready, seeking the opportunity to give out the gospel. Some of you are great at handing out gospel tracts, and you do that very well. Marissa does a lot of that. And some of you others, handing out gospel tracts all the time. It's just like seeds, just give them out a lot. And I'm really excited about it as we give out the gospel, we're handing out the gospel wherever we go. Put it in a, sometimes I do this, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes I find myself kind of going in spurts. I'll get real good about it and empty out my pockets and go through it. And then, run out and I kind of get out of the habit a little bit. Oh, I got to go catch some more, and I get more. But I always want to be giving out the gospel. You could put them on, in elevators and bathrooms, and you can put them out on gas pumps and things like that. And you may get called. Don't worry about it. If your name's not on it, you don't have to worry about it, okay? But just hand them out. Get out the gospel everywhere we go, giving out the gospel. But then there's another part of this, is there's an invitation. The gospel calls for a response. The gospel says that men need Jesus Christ, and so we want to give them an invitation. We want to invite them. We can't force anyone to make that decision, but we certainly can do all that we can to invite them to receive Christ as Savior. And so when Paul says that he's ready, and that means that when he goes in, if you know the methodology of Paul, that Paul would go into the streets and he would just go through and he would preach the gospel, and he didn't have gospel tracts and pocket New Testaments or anything like that. He simply had a message and the power of God in his life. But the fact is that Paul went through and he was ready to give the gospel out to anyone and fully prepared to have them receive Christ as Savior. That's what mission work is about. That's why we have missionaries that go across the whether it's across the country or whether it's across the seas. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're carrying that gospel message that you and I are carrying. So keep in mind, folks, that you may have the opportunity. And I think sometimes people get the idea, and this is something that Satan will come in our mind. Well, you got to have a Bible degree to do that. No, you don't. You can just simply give the gospel as it is. Remember, it's not us. It's God's power that makes the difference. So the very first thing is the readiness of the gospel. And we're learning how that this is possible right now, even today in 2015, it's very possible to give the gospel out to a whole bunch of people everywhere we are. But then there's another description he gives us is the nature of the gospel. And this is what I really like, the nature of the gospel. And I find it is the power of salvation. It's the power of salvation. Look, if you would, go back to verse number 16 with me. And Paul talks about the power of salvation. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." He says, "For I am not ashamed." Now think about that. I am not ashamed of the gospel. That means that I'm not ashamed to be identified with Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to carry my Bible. I'm not ashamed to let people know that I am a believer. I mean, to be identified with someone means that, you know, there's a level of what we connect with about those people. And for us, our connection to God is through Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. And I don't believe that any of us should be ashamed or embarrassed about the fact that we know Christ. In fact, Paul writes over in Romans chapter 10. Here's what he says. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." I don't want to be ashamed of the Lord. I don't think any of us here are ashamed of the Lord. I mean, the fact that you got in your car and you drove here tonight tells me you're not ashamed of the Lord. But when we go out into the world, why should we be ashamed of the Lord? Why should we? Because, see, salvation is the power of God. It transformed our life. And that's the second part of this, is the power of transformation. Not only is it the power of salvation, but it's the power of transformation. God, in other words, what he said he worked in my life in such a way that he gave me salvation only through his son Jesus. But God transformed me from the inside out. And we talked about that this morning with Paul and with Peter and with other of the apostles. We discussed that this morning in the message. But this salvation is that which changes the heart of the man. It changes my life from the inside out. Paul says this in Acts, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. In other words, what he's saying is that the power of the gospel does such a wonderful job of transforming people's life. I can think of in this room tonight, some of you probably could be here and you could stand up and give a testimony of how God transformed your life. And you know, he starts on the inside, works in your heart, and he changes you from the inside out. As a teenage boy, I had no interest in church. I had no interest in the things of God. I had no interest in going to church. I mean, I could care less about all this stuff. And yet, when the reality was that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, that got a hold of me. That arrested my attention. And when I called upon Jesus, he changed that desire from not wanting to be in church to not wanting to miss church because of the power of God. It's the gospel. It's that the nature of the gospel is the power of transformation. What the gospel does then is God can take the lowest of lows and make him the highest of highs. He can make the depressed joyful, the hopeless filled with hope, the meaningless filled with meaning, and the discouraged to be greatly encouraged. I like what Tim Keller said. He was talking about this, and he's responding to the work of the gospel in his transformation. Here's what he says. He says, self-salvation through good works may produce a great deal of moral behavior in your life, but inside you are miserable. In other words, if you try it your own way, you try to transform your life yourself, you'll be miserable. He says, you're always comparing yourself to other people, and you are never sure you are being good enough. You cannot, therefore, deal with your own hideousness and self-absorption through the moral law by trying to be a good person through an act of the will. You need a complete transformation of the very motives of your heart. And here's what God says. God says that it's through that transformation on the inside that God gives me a brand new life. And by the way, that's exactly what God can do in anyone's life. It doesn't matter if you might look at a family member and say, you know, man, they're way beyond hope. You know what? I don't see it that way. As long as they have breath in their body, they are not beyond hope. God can change their life. Remember, circumstances change. And realize the fact that the nature of the gospel is the power of salvation. It is not your gift of gab. It is not your backing of theology. It is not, you know, all the witty things you can use. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of transformation. But then there's a third thought here I want to give you as we were describing this, is the payment in the gospel. Have you ever thought about it this way? The gospel paid it all. In other words, if you were to look at our record in heaven, when we come into this world, we are bankrupt. We're born in debt. We're in debt to a God that is holy because we're sinful, right? I mean, I am poor in spirit, the Bible says. That means I'm spiritually poor. I can't make the payment. It's impossible to make the payment. When you can't make a payment for a debt, you're bankrupt. And God says that for me, spiritually, I'm bankrupt. I can't pay the debt. So as I look at this passage then, what God reminds me is the fact that I am in need of a payment. Now, for me, I could try to do it on my own. I guess I could try to make the payment, but every time I try to make it, I fail miserably. And every time that someone in our world tries to make a payment for their sin, they create a religion. Have you noticed that? Let me allow religion. For example, would it be fair to say that Adam, when he sinned, had a need for the payment of sin to be taken care of? And remember what he did? What's the very first thing that he did? He covered himself with fig leaves. That's religion. He knew at that point that he had to cover himself, and that was in a picture form, that was him trying to hide himself from God, hide his nakedness. And by the way, he didn't even know he was naked until he sinned. He didn't know any of those things, and so he tried to cover himself. And when God came to him and called him account for what he had done, remember, he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked?" Remember what he said. He says, "Have you eaten of the tree?" Is that what you did? You ate of the tree? In other words, now you're trying to cover yourself. But the fact is that that will not avail of the covering for your sin. You need something outside of yourself, something beyond yourself. You need a sacrificial lamb. And that's why God covered him with lambskin, which pointed ultimately to the Lamb of Jesus Christ. And what man is in need tonight in America is we don't need a different president. What we need is a Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what America needs. Here's one thing that's important. And Kurt Cameron said that in his testimony. I don't know if you caught it. He says, "You know what? I found out that I'm in the statistics. 10 out of 10 people die." And can I tell you this? We're all in that statistics too. Every one of us. That's where we are. We're all going to die one day, and what's going to matter is that we're needy people. And we're needy people now. We really would need something when we die, but we're still in need right now. And that need is the Savior. And your neighbor needs the Savior. And your family member needs the Savior. And my family member needs the Savior. All of us need the Savior. And so the payment in the gospel is the fact that, number one, there's a need. That's why the payment was. But the fact of the payment is that Jesus took care of that. He took care of that payment. And that's why I like what Romans. Can I get you to turn over to Romans chapter 3, please, very quickly, and look at verse 24 and 25. Well, we back up to verse 23, I guess. We'll pick up there. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." For all have sinned. In other words, none of us can escape this fact of sin. And then notice verse 24. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." Here's what he says. Pretty heavy duty stuff right there, huh? Here's what he says. He says, God's blood paid for your sin. The word propitiation means to satisfy the wrath of God. And when you go back to verse 18 of chapter 1, he says that God's wrath will be unleashed against all ungodliness, and it really was at the cross of Calvary. And he did that for us. And he did that for your family, and he did that for those who we live around, and those who we work with, and those who we come in contact with daily. And so what I know is this: there's a fact that there's a punishment and a payment, and it's been taken care of by Jesus. What I do know is this: that with that fact and with that payment, that ultimately every one of us are part of that statistics. And what I also know is this: we need to be ready. That's where it becomes personal. I know that when we have missionaries come, Brother Thomason will be here, we'll have others that will come, and some of them are ready, and some of them will be sharing by way of video because they can't come home. They're involved in their own ministry. You realize the average missionary, if they go home from the field, if they don't have a work already established with a national pastor in that, when they come back, within 6 months or a year, that work will be closed down. 4 years of work, it will be closed because, they have to spend the first 3 years getting it up, getting it going, and they have to find somebody, train them, get them so they can take it, because they know that in 4 years they have to come home. That's just kind of the standard mission. And some missionaries only come home for 3 months because they want to get back, because they want to make sure they got something to go back to. Because they realize how important this work of the gospel. And so we see things as believers from a whole different viewpoint. For me, when I go past and drive up the street past a cemetery, I just wonder how many of those people in there never knew Christ that died. I just wonder how many people that we pass every day, how many of them know Christ and how many of them do not know Christ? How many of us can take a moment and just hand a track? Maybe it's that person that you have just gotten something from at a restaurant. Maybe it's the opportunity to do that. But by the way, just be ready. You never know. Look for opportunities. And that's what Paul says: I'm going to be looking for opportunities. So we're talking about sharing the gospel. We're just talking about being ready and taking advantage of the opportunities. I'm going to be honest with you, not everybody wants to hear. And we have to, that's the other part about being ready. We have to be emotionally ready, don't we? Because some people are going to say, I don't want to hear it. I don't have anything to do with it. I don't really care anything about it. I remember my dad had this lady that worked for him, married lady that worked for him, and I tried to tell her about the gospel, and she just would not listen whatsoever. Until one night, her husband did not come home. She couldn't figure out what happened to him. They found him the next morning, he had gone off of the freeway, off of one of those bridges on his motorcycle, and landed upside down and killed him. Guess what? At that point, she wanted to hear about Jesus. She wanted to hear something about that. And by the way, that's what the readiness of the gospel is. So Paul says, as we go, he describes the gospel. He said there's the readiness of the gospel. He said, don't be ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God of salvation. And then he says here that this gospel has already been paid for. It's free. Thank God it's free. It's free. It's free because of what Jesus did for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight, just as we look into the scriptures, as we understand your word and your power, we realize that we are saved not because of ourselves, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray for those around us tonight who may not know Christ. Lord, our hearts break. We do not think of ourselves better than anyone. We're just thankful that by your grace that there was a time in our life when we trusted Christ. But Lord, we pray for those around us who do not know Christ. Lord, we pray that you would enable us, give us the power to be able to go out and spread that message to this community, to our workplaces, to our schools, to everywhere we go, Lord, that we might tell them the greatest message that could change their life. Lord, guide us now in this invitation, we pray tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.